I'm going to ask you to turn this morning to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6 for the past couple of Sunday mornings when I've spoken. We've looked at the major portion of chapter 6. We're going to look at the end of the chapter. And again, if you're visiting with us, we've been doing a study on the children of Israel as they've gone from Egypt and on their way to Canaan. They're presently at Mount Sinai at the foot of the mountain, and they're getting ready to leave. They're making preparations to leave that area in the southern part of the Sinai Peninsula and make their way on up to that promised land, the land of blessing. It would be a land of battle, but a land of wonderful blessing. And we've been taking what happened to them and applying it to our own lives, not without scriptural authority, because we read in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 that these things were written specifically for our learning. God gave them to us that we might take them and biblically apply them to our lives. So we've been going to the New Testament and finding out how these Old Testament events painted pictures for us who know the Lord Jesus Christ today. So we're going to start out and we're going to read at the end of the chapter. We're going to start out in verse 22 of Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6 and the 22nd verse reads like this in the King James. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. The Lord spoke to Moses, and he in turn was to speak to Aaron and his sons, and they in turn were to speak to the children of Israel. And, oftentimes we might think, well, if it's going to be passed through that many people, there likely will be some miscommunication somewhere. You know, miscommunication is very easy to take place. It happened at our house this morning. And no, it wasn't between Kim and me, and that's not why we're thinking about going to the marriage conference. But we received a phone call. I actually was out at the time, and Kim received a phone call from our neighbor, Bruce Chamberlain. Most of you know Bruce and Janet here. Many of you have heard him preach. You know he is a transplanted New Englander, and he carries with him some of that accent. Well, anyway, Kim got the phone call, and he said, Bruce, he likes to garden. And he does a good job, and he likes to share a little bit of that with us occasionally, and we enjoy receiving the fruits of his labor. So anyway, he called, and Kim thought it was a little unusual, but he told her he had some lettuce he wanted to bring down. And she said, this morning, you want to bring it? And he said, yes. And she said, okay, I'll be watching for you. So anyway, he came down, and he brought several things, items. He picked up paper, actually wasn't ours, was the neighbor's, but he picked it up too and and brought it up and gave her some stuff, and she thanked him. And then she said, well, where's the lettuce? I don't see the lettuce. And then she looked down and realized he had brought two letters. Two letters. He wanted to bring some letters down for us. One of them was from his wife to the assembly, read at the Lord's Supper. She just had surgery. And so anyway, those letters and that lettuce, we won't be able to eat the lettuce, but anyway, you got to watch that miscommunication. But thankfully, when God speaks, he doesn't speak with a northern accent or a Middle Eastern accent or even a southern accent. God speaks clearly, and he speaks through his word. And he spoke clearly to Moses, and Moses heard what he said, and he told Moses, here's what I want you to pass on to your brother Aaron. And we've already seen back in Exodus and Leviticus that Aaron was set apart to be the high priest, and his sons were to be the priests. They were to function under him, and of course the responsibility of the priest was to go before God and to represent the people. In that time, as God was working with the nation of Israel, they didn't have the privilege that those who know God today through the Lord Jesus have, and that's of going directly to him individually. And they were the priests, and they had their responsibilities to represent the people before God. As we were studying that, particularly back in the book of Exodus, we looked at 1 Peter chapter 2, in the New Testament and found out that while we don't have the Jewish priesthood, while Judaism is no longer enforced because the Lord Jesus has come and he has fulfilled those pictures and prophecies and types, and he has fulfilled the law that was given, and he has gone to the cross of Calvary and died for us and risen again. And now we function as the church, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But in the church, though we don't have the priesthood of the Old Testament, we found that we do have a priesthood. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we read that all who know the Lord Jesus Christ are holy priests and are royal priests. And we won't go back over that again, but just to remind you of that, that we are priests. And so we can take things that were true of the Old Testament priest and go over and find New Testament parallels to apply to our lives today if we have received Jesus Christ as Savior, been forgiven of our sins, brought into the family of God, made new creations in Christ, promised home in heaven, and having the Holy Spirit living within us. We are able to function as priests. These priests, Aaron and his sons, had their responsibilities. And of course, down through the years, Aaron's offspring would fulfill those responsibilities as they met the qualifications. And here we find another responsibility of the priests. And it was to bless the people. He makes that very clear. The Lord spake unto Moses in verse 22. And in verse 23 he said, "Speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise, or in this way, or in this manner," or here's how I want you to do it, "on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them." They were to speak to the children of Israel, and in doing so they were to bless them. A blessing, of course, is a benefit. And they were going to speak benefits to them. Now I want us to, as background, just to recognize several truths as we think about these priests blessing the people. And you might imagine in your mind that they would come out and the people would be gathered, or maybe a group of the people would be gathered, and the priest or priest would come out, and to the people they would speak this blessing: "The Lord Jehovah bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And they would speak these words of blessing to the people. But I want you to recognize several truths, even as we think about that, that the Lord makes very clear. First of all, at the very end of verse 27, as God closes off what he's saying to Moses and then to Aaron and his sons, he said, "And I will bless them." So you see, it's actually the Lord who is doing the blessing. It's the Lord who is doing the blessing. He is the one who will bring the benefits upon the people. And we also see there in verse 27 that his name, the name of the Lord, is essential to real blessing. "And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel." You see, those people were identified with God. They were identified with Jehovah, the one and only true God. And because of their identification with the Lord, they were able to receive blessings from the Lord. Now, the same is true today. The Lord is still the source of all blessing. And there is a sense in which everyone is identified with God as he is creator. And therefore, God causes the rain to fall on the righteous, but also on the unrighteous. And everyone who had a meal this morning, whether or not they recognize God as God, whether or not they have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, still were receiving a blessing from God. But God, in a special way, has special blessings for those who are His, who were called after his name, who are today Christians, Christ ones, who have the name of Jesus Christ upon them, not because of any merit of their own, not because they're special, not because they worked hard to win a prize like these children did this morning, but rather because they have recognized that there's nothing they can do. And they've received the Lord Jesus, who died for their sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and they have trusted Him alone for forgiveness of their sins, as they have recognized themselves as sinners. And they've been brought in to this relationship with God, and now they are identified with Him. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And there are great blessings for those who are identified with the name of God. But notice one other truth, and that is that the Lord chooses to use human vessels in the blessing of His people. That's exactly what He did here with the priests. He said, you go out and you bless them. They were channels of His blessing. They were speaking of His blessing to the people. The Lord's going to do the blessing. The Lord says, I will bless them, but you go out and you speak these words of My blessing to them. Now, we're not going to look closely this morning at the particular blessing, because we're going to be going to the New Testament. But I'll very quickly just mention for you there that in verses 24 to 26, each of those verses carries a couplet. Each of these blessings, there are really three blessings. They start out in a general way and then go to something more specific. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. There, the thought is the blessing of God's protection on His people. The Lord take care of you. The Lord guard you. The Lord keep you as He blesses you. And then verse 25, the second of the three couplets, the Lord make His face shine upon you. The thought of God's smile upon you. And be gracious unto you. There's the grace of God in His favor toward you, really His provision. May God provide everything that you need, not because you deserve it, but because He is God and He is love. And He places His favor upon you and you are His. And finally, there the third couplet, the Lord lift up His countenance upon thee. The Lord turn His face toward you and pay attention to you and give you peace. And the word there for peace, shalom in the Hebrew, you probably heard that word, really carries a thought of soundness or wholeness. We might even say prosperity. Now, back in the Old Testament, the prosperity that they often enjoyed focused on a material prosperity. And we praise God for the material blessings that He gives to us. But as we enter into the New Testament, as we're going to do, we see that most of the focus and definitely the emphasis of the blessings of God upon the people of God today are not material in nature, but rather spiritual. And we would never preach a prosperity gospel, because that is not what God teaches. And God has allowed some of His choicest servants to go through some of the deepest, darkest waters, where others would say, well, you must not have faith. When in reality, their faith was strong in God, and He was using them to go through the trial, to go through the difficulty, to endure the hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, that He might be glorified and His name might be honored. That blessing of wholeness and prosperity. You know, I would suggest this morning, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that God's design and God's desire is for you to be a channel of blessing. We live in a very selfish body, in the midst of a very self-centered, selfish culture. Two strikes against us. And Satan is the third strike, as he comes in and tries to fan that flame to build up that self-focus, that self-importance, that self-centeredness. And God is saying, I want you, as a New Testament priest, I want you to be a channel of blessing, as I use the Old Testament priesthood to be a channel of blessing, so I want you to be a channel of My blessing. God could bless the nation of Israel without the priests. And God can bless His people today without you. But He has chosen to use you as He chose to use those priests that we read about. I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Ephesians, if you would, this morning. We could go throughout the New Testament, but we definitely don't have time to do that this morning, because all through the New Testament, we find the blessing of God on the people of God. But we're going to narrow it down this morning, and as we said, Peter is the one that God used to teach us of the New Testament priesthood there in his first epistle, chapter 2. And in his second epistle, chapter 3, he speaks of a man named Paul. Peter and Paul knew each other very well. Their relationship was not always smooth. There was a time when Paul had to rebuke Peter, and he did it publicly. We read about it in the book of Galatians. But here we read that Peter writes, "Our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things." So Peter speaks about Paul and the things that he wrote. And he refers to them as things that you can count on and trust, because they too are the Word of God. Paul, like Peter, was moved along by the Spirit of God to write the things that he wrote. And so we're going to very quickly this morning consider blessing on the journey. And particularly being not the recipients of blessing, though we could talk much about that, but rather that we could focus this morning on those of us who know the Lord Jesus as Savior being channels of God's blessing to others. And we want to look at some ways in which we can do that. And we see them here in the book of Ephesians. And when I think about Paul, apart from the Lord Jesus, he's my favorite character in Scripture. You may have your favorite character. It may be Paul. Paul, I think, was a wonderful example of a New Testament priest. And I want you to notice some of the ways that he blessed the people. And I think we can follow him. In fact, he says in 1 Corinthians, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." First of all, one way that you can bless others is to reveal your desires for them. Now, that's exactly what the priesthood was doing back in Numbers chapter 6, what they were instructed to do. They were saying, in essence, we want the Lord to bless you. We want the Lord to keep you. We want Him to shine His face upon you and be gracious to you. We want Him to lift His face up upon you and give you peace. That's our desires for you. Look at how Paul begins his letter, Ephesians chapter 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." By the way, that's you, the faithful in Christ Jesus, if you're a believer. Notice how he greets them. Notice how he reveals his desires for their blessing on the journey. "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." We have 13 recorded letters of Paul to local churches and individuals. 13 of them in the New Testament. In every one of those 13 letters, he begins with some sort of salutation. Most of the time, all the time, he includes at least those two blessings, grace and peace to you. And he always acknowledges the source, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He recognizes the source of that blessing. And he says, "My desire for you is that you would experience in a fresh, daily way the grace and the mercy of God in your life." Notice how he closes this letter. Look over at chapter 6. He's not done yet with revealing his desires for them and that they would be blessed by God. He doesn't use that specific blessing, but as the Lord said, "In this way I want you to bless them." Look at that. Look down in chapter 6 at verse 23 and verse 24. Notice how he closes out his letter. "Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Amen. He verbalizes his desire for their blessing as they too are on a journey through life. And God can use you as a channel of his blessing to others as you verbalize your desire for what you want God to do for them. You know, every year at Christmas, most children come up with a Christmas wish list, don't they? And many adults do too. And we write down everything that we want and we take it to that person who is going to have authority and ability to buy us gifts. And we say, this is what we want. And they often have asked us for that list. I wonder how many of us have ever made a Christmas list for the person that we're going to. Or maybe for someone else. Can you imagine a little boy making out the Christmas list for his sister and bringing it to his parents and saying, Mom and Dad, here's what I want you to get my sister for Christmas. A BB gun. Now, we might could expect that. But that's not the thought here of asking them for something that's going to benefit us. But rather something that we know will benefit them. That desire. Verbalizing that, sharing our hearts, our true concern, our care, in an eternal-minded way. Now, you might feel a little strange doing that. Sometimes, in a more formal way, we will say grace and peace to you. Mercy, God's mercy to be on you. And we even sometimes say, God bless you. And I think that's a very much of a blessing in this way. God bless you. I want God to bless you. I care about you. We could share with another believer. I hope God's grace is really on your life today. I hope this week as we're apart that you will know the mercy and the love of God in a special way, just for what you need this week. Now, how do you think you would feel if someone said that to you? You would be blessed. As they share their desire, they reveal their heart for you. They care. A second way that we can be a channel of blessing to others is to remind them of their possession of the blessings of God. Go back to chapter 1 and see how Paul does this. As he speaks, as he begins his letter off, and he tells him, I want God's grace and mercy to be your portion. I want you to experience that in your life afresh today. Look at verse 3. He reminds them what they already possess in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He says, you already possess every spiritual blessing from God. Yes, they're in the heavenly places, and that's where we enjoy them. And we'll see that more as we move into the book of Joshua in our study. But it's in the heavenly, it's in that communion with God. It's in that fellowship with Him in His Word and in prayer and in recognizing His presence with us that we're able to really enjoy in a full way these spiritual blessings. And that's what Paul emphasizes. Not the new car that God just gave us, though we thank Him for that. We praise Him for that. In the miraculous way He worked it out. And how we made the house payment last month and how we were able to get gas and even afford it. But you know, that's not where Paul makes the emphasis. Rather, his emphasis is on the spiritual blessings. And he goes on, and we don't have time, but we can look through chapter 1, the first part of that chapter, and he enumerates those blessings, and he expounds upon this thought of the spiritual blessings of God. Peter, again, we referred to him earlier. He says in 2 Peter, in the first chapter, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. These promises that are great and they're abundant and they're beyond what we even understand. And we're able to share that and remind our brothers and sisters in Christ about what they have in Christ, to encourage them. How often when we're discouraged, how often when we're focusing on the negative, how often when we've got caught up with a problem or a struggle and someone sends a card and it's got a verse there, or someone shares a verse with us, and it reminds us that in spite of the problems, in spite of the difficulties, we have great blessings from God. And we can focus on those. You know, as I have opportunity to talk to couples before they get married and share with them some hopefully beneficial, well, I know they're beneficial because they come from the Bible, ideas and truths for their marriage. And then some couples who may be needing some encouragement along the way, talking to them as well. You know, I always get more blessing than they do. But you see, I'm reminding myself as I remind them about God's pattern for marriage and what God desires for marriage. And it's a reminder. And what a blessing to be reminded of all that we have in the Lord Jesus. There's so much. Those promises are exceeding, and they're great, and they're precious. Some of you are familiar with a brother in the Lord from probably back in the 19th century, R.C. Chapman, a devout Christian. And people knew his testimony, a man of love. And one morning, a brother in the Lord saw him and said, "Brother Chapman, how are you feeling?" And he said, "I'm burdened this morning." But you know, as the man looked at R.C. Chapman, he saw that though he said he was burdened, his face was radiant. And he was actually smiling. And so the questioner exclaimed in surprise, "Are you really burdened, Mr. Chapman?" And R.C. responded, "Yes, but it's a wonderful burden. It's an overabundance of blessings for which I cannot find enough time or words to express my gratitude." And as his friend looked at him with a puzzled look, Chapman added with a smile, "I'm referring to Psalm 68:19, which fully describes my condition, because in that verse, the Father in heaven reminds us that He daily loads us with benefits." And what a blessing to remind our brothers and sisters in Christ of some of that load of blessing that God has put in their lives. And maybe there'll be practical things that you'll bring up as well as those things that you bring from Scripture. So remind them of their possession of blessings, a wonderful way to be a channel of God's blessing. A third way is to request blessings from God for them on their journey. Paul does that here in chapter 1. Look down at verse 16. We'll read his prayer. We don't have time to make many comments on it. We're going to read a couple of his prayers here for the Ephesians. In verse 16, he says, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And here's what he prays: "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places." Look over at chapter 3. He's not finished with His prayer meeting. He's not finished in His priestly work of going before God and representing those people there in Ephesus in the first century. Notice His prayer for them in chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. Here's what He prays: "That He, the Lord, would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Wow, you talk about a load of benefits. You talk about a load of blessings. And Paul prays for these people, and he calls out to God. He requests the blessings of God on the lives of these believers there in that local church. And every one of his blessings, every one of the blessings he asks from God is a spiritual blessing. A spiritual blessing. The blessing of insight into knowing God, to understanding the hope of His calling and the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, to a knowledge of His great power and of His love. And we could go on and on. And Paul prays for those people as a priest, a New Testament priest, requesting these blessings for them from the hand of God. The Lord bless you. That in essence is a prayer. And when you look back at what the priest were to say, the Lord bless you, they were in essence saying, we ask the Lord to bless you. And that's what we do. We can do that as New Testament priests, asking the blessing of God on the people of God, praying for those Christians you know, and seeking to find the spiritual blessings that would be most beneficial for them. I thought it was interesting that Paul didn't seem to be asking them for prayer requests. Now, I think asking for prayer requests is a wonderful thing, and I believe Paul did it. In fact, later in this book, at the chapter 6, Paul gives them prayer requests for him. But Paul also knew, as a mature believer, that there were times that he needed to pray for what was most important, even if they didn't recognize it. Just as a parent will often give a child what he knows or she knows that child needs, not what that child might be focused on, even though what the child might be focused on may be fine. But the parent knows they need something more than that. And the mature believer says, I know that of all the things they're going through, there's nothing more important that I can pray for them about than these very things that Paul prayed for the Ephesian believers about, an insight into the knowledge of God in these specific prayers that he made for them. Finally, one last way that I'd like to suggest from the book of Ephesians that we can be channels of God's blessing in the lives of others is to respond to their need of blessing. Over in chapter 3 of Ephesians, Paul writes this, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles..." Paul was a Jewish man. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. These were Gentile believers. They knew the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And he was praying for them. And he was reminding them of their blessings. But you know what? He also sought to respond to their need by doing what he could do. Notice down in verse 8. He says, "Unto me, who am the less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." He said, here's a way that I can very practically be a blessing to you because God has given me this ministry. God has given me this special responsibility, and I want to preach to you the unsearchable riches, the bottomless treasures of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had revealed things to Paul that he hadn't revealed to anybody else. He was doing that because God was using Paul to write these 13 New Testament letters. And Paul was to give them so that we too might be blessed in that way. And this was a very practical way for Paul to be the channel of answering his own prayer for their blessing. Look, if you would, quickly over at chapter 4 and verse 16 to make this apply to you and to me. He's speaking about the believers as a body. And he says there in verse 16, "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." He talks there about how the body is fit together perfectly and that every joint is supplying That part that God has designed it to supply. In other words, every one of us have abilities and opportunities to minister to one another that the body of Christ might be strengthened. And God has some unique ways for you to respond to the needs of others that you might be a practical blessing to them. God says, don't only pray about it. Do something about it when the opportunity is there. In chapter 6, he says, I sent Tychicus to you to be an encouragement to you. That's something Paul could do. That's something Tychicus could do. And God has certain things that you are able to do. And you might be thinking, that is such a small thing. Big deal that I sent a card. Big deal that I made a phone call. Big deal that I mowed a yard. Big deal that I spoke a word of comfort. Big deal. God said, it's a big deal. It's wonderful. I use that, God says, in that person's life. You're a channel of my blessing. When you respond to their need, when you request blessings from God for them, when you remind them of their possessions, when you reveal your heart, your desire for them, that they would be blessed. God wants to use you, brothers and sisters. God has blessings to pour out on His people, and you are the channel that He's chosen. Will you ask God to bless His people, and will you allow God to bless His people through you? Will you do that? Taking our eyes off of ourselves, focusing upon the source of blessing, the Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father in heaven, and will we allow Him to use us to bring blessing upon His people? I trust you'll do that. I trust if you don't know Him as Savior, that your heart has been so caught up this morning with the thought of the blessings of God that you're saying, I want to know Him. We'd love to show you how you can know Him, how you can be forgiven of your sins and have that relationship personal with Him. And if you know Him as your Savior, may we leave this place being more focused on being channels of the blessing of God, the benefits of God toward His people. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning that You've allowed us again to be together. Father, we praise Your name that we've joined here in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for the blessings which You have poured out upon us. And Father, I thank You for these who have gathered here today. And Father, for giving me the opportunity to share with them. Thank You for their listening ears, their open hearts. Father, I pray that You would bless them and keep them. Father, I pray that You would make Your face shine on them and You would be gracious to them. Lord, I ask You to lift up Your face on them. And Father, give them peace. Lord, I pray for Your grace and Your mercy and Your love in their lives. Father, I pray that they would be open to You being the one who pours out blessings not only to them but through them. Father, may we get a glimpse of that through the priestly work of Paul. We thank You for this man. We thank You for his example. Help us to imitate him even as he imitated Your Son, our great high priest, who even now is at Your right hand. Father, we thank You for him, and we pray in His name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.